Welcome to Chick Chat, the podcast where the girl with many titles talks about life, the good and the bad, and everything around it. We're going to sit, chat, share life stories and experiences, from business to relationships. Welcome to another episode of the Chick Chat podcast. Today I'm joined by Jess.
Hello.
Welcome. Honestly, if you followed me for a while, you'll definitely see in the past year me being here all the time. Like, near enough every month I'm in here for something else, either, well, nails or hair. But, yeah, I'm really excited to have you on because, one, you're such a massive part of my life now.
Oh.
Two, even more because G found you.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is also incredible. And that kind of, like, especially now doing the whole soft life stuff, I think that's incredible. But also, it's also nice to have a black woman in Northern Ireland that runs a business and gets it and is around the same age and runs a business not because they didn't have a choice. Like, it's something that you've wanted to do, if that makes sense. So I'll let you introduce yourself. What do you do?
I'm Jessica Rutherford, and I'm a hairdresser, an Afro hairdresser. I specialize in Afro hair, and on my normal day, I work as a human resource personnel. Yeah, but hairdressing is a massive point of my life, and it's one thing I enjoy, so yeah.
Love it. All right, so if you're new here, we start with your challenge of the week or tip of the week, and then the middle is how are you actually doing, and the end will end with a win of the week. So have you currently got a challenge or a tip?
Well, yeah, I think the challenge of my daily week is combining what I do as a 9-to-5 and working as an Afro hairdresser in Belfast. I think that's the most challenging part of my week. Always closing from work and rushing to the salon to work on my clients, and then go back home to Dunmarry. So yeah, it's a bit challenging, but then yeah, not too bad. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
So just stick to that. It's fun.
Do you know what, that's funny, because I guess I'm on the other side, because my challenge is trusting the process. Now I'm fully self-employed, but in a way where I can still find new things that I want to love.
Yeah.
And doing like that balance, because I think I'm so used to balancing loads of things, but I'm also now starting to figure out my life is whatever I want it to be. Do I want to be a golf girly? Do I want to be a last week we went and played pool. Just I'm trying to learn just new skills, new things. So
I don't know how to play pool.
I'm not great, I can't lie. But yeah, I think mine is the challenge of being full-time now is self-employed is great, but also what else does life have to give that this is working and I can trust the process.
Yeah,
it's weird. But okay, so you told us you're an Afro hairdresser. How did you start? Obviously, I know loads about your life, so I also need to ask these questions in a way that's not assuming.
Yeah.
So give us a background of like where you grew up, how you got into hair, and how you've ended up in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, so I grew up in Ghana, born and bred it, proudly Ghanaian. And I fell in love and relocated to the UK.
And cute.
I know. And then my journey into hairdressing, I think it was more of a hobby. I keep saying that. It was more of a hobby. Funny enough, my mom actually went to get trained for hairdressing, but never practiced it. My mom is a trained hairdresser, but never practiced it. And growing up, I just loved doing hair. I just loved playing with people's hair. I just loved like having my fingers in people's hair. So there was this woman that used to live close by where my house was in Ghana, and she had this small salon. So I'd always go there. She's called Sister Lizzie. I'd always go there and help her in doing hair. I'll be like, oh, can I do the hair wash? Can I do that? And sometimes she'd say, oh, you don't have to because you're not trained to do that in case anything happens. And I was like, how about you train me to do it? I don't mind, because I could sit a whole hour or two over there doing nothing. So she started training me, and then she would give me a doll, like a very cute doll to work on and stuff like that. That was when I was in high school. But then over time, when I went to uni, I would come back and actually send her links and stuff from YouTube and be like, oh, Stalisa, you need to learn how to do this. You need to do this. Yeah. Like, it'll be good for your client. Well, I saw this new style. It's something that's trendy. You can. So she was like, have you ever considered being a hairdresser?
Yeah.
And you know, in Africa, you can't go from uni to a hairdresser.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
not for me.
I just love it. It's not for me. But then I would always go there to help her do something. And I think I was still figuring out what my life is about.
Mm.
But then I remember I did BSc in business administration. And as part of it, we do entrepreneurship as a course.
Yeah.
And we were asked to draw a business plan, which my team did draw a plan for like a coffee shop. But then I drew a personal one for a hair salon.
Yeah.
And then I took it to my head of department and I was like, can you just have a look at this? And he called me back, was like, is this something you've sat and thought of over and over? Because with the projections I'm seeing, if you're doing it, and I centered it in my town where I grew up.
Mm.
So where I grew up, it had loads of salons, but then they were like small container salons.
Yeah.
They were like limited ones.
Yeah.
So he saw the bigger picture of where I have everything in one space where people can come and get what they need in one spot without having to go anywhere.
Yeah.
And he was like, if you've ever planned to do this, I would advise you to go ahead.
Yeah.
But it's all up to you. Fast forward, I started doing my national service. So we do national service in Africa. You serve the government for
luckily,
a year.
Luckily, I didn't have to do, thank God.
Good for you.
Oh.
You serve the government for a year for peanuts.
Yeah.
And you literally need to rent a place to stay if you're not lucky and you're posted somewhere far away from home. So I was in the office one of these days and I just went like, I need to do this thing. Because I wasn't even happy doing what I was doing then. I was like, I need some kind of excitement in my life. And I like doing this thing. So I just got up. I told my manager then, I'll be back in about 30 minutes. She was like, okay. I got up, went straight to the business registration office.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Registered. I asked the man, I want to register a business. How much does it cost? And he told me the figure. I was like, it was 100 and something then. And I was like, yes, I want to register a business. He was like, have you started the business? Do you have a business? I was like, no, I just want to register a business. He's like, okay. He registered the business with my documents, my ID cards and stuff like that. And he was like, why are you going to this hair salon? Like, okay. Are you a hairdresser? I said, no, I will be at one point. He registered the business. I went, and that was the most exciting day of my life. It was 4th August 2017 or 2016. I don't remember, but that was the most exciting day of my life. I felt so happy. And then went back to the office and I just told my manager, I'm going to start my own business. He's like, what do you mean?
So random.
I'm going to start my own business. And he was like, okay. And I told him I just went to register my business and that's my documents. I'm just going to wait for my business certificate. He's like, okay. So after that, after the service, apparently they had decided to keep me. So I just went like, no, I'm just going to go home and start my own business.
Yeah.
And I called my dad and I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to do this job. I'm just going to go home and do my business. Like, what business? Like, hairdressing. Like, no, you're not. You can't go to school and become a hairdresser. I was like, yeah, I would be. So I moved back home after national service and my dad has like a block of shops for rent. So I just went in one, looked for somebody, and I was like, how can you convert this whole space into a salon?
Mm.
And he was like, why? It's like, yeah, I need it. And I told my dad, I'm going to convert one of your shops into a salon. He's like, you dare not. It's like, I will. And I'm the first child, so I'm a bit persuasive, I'm a bit daring, I'm a bit stubborn.
Especially with a dad.
Yeah, especially with a dad. And I was named after his mom, so I take advantage of it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I was like, can you help me financially? He's like, no, I won't. And it wasn't because he didn't want.
Yeah.
He wanted me to focus on my career
in
human resource. Because, you know, in Africa, you grow up and they have your life planned.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, you'll be out of school, get a job. And then he wanted me to either work in the mines because he worked there all his life.
Yeah.
Or work where I was doing my national service, which was a very reputable organization, the Port and Harbors Authority. So I was like, no, I'm not doing any of them. So for like a few months, he wouldn't talk to me. He was Aww. Like, no, this is not the plan I have for you. So I just sat him down. I was like, just give me 4 years. If I don't succeed, I'll go back to school or find a job or just make me marry whatever. But just give me 4 years and let's see how it goes. And I got myself enrolled to get the training into hairdressing. And I think it lasted, because I had the basics as well, it lasted for like a year.
Wow. And it's actually longer than I thought.
Yeah, it lasted. Oh, back home they do for like 3 years.
Jeez.
Unless you're smart enough to, unless you're smart enough to like beat it. But they do it for 3 years. It's 3-4 year apprenticeship. That's what they call it. So I did it for a year, and then with a few help as well, I did like online trainings with like very good hairdressers from braiders, not hairdressers, braiders from braiders and locticians from the USA. I did trainings with them as well, and yeah, I started the shop from there. And the focus had always been for me focusing on the good health of people's hair, just taking care of their scalp. Because I felt like that was one thing, not just here, even in Africa, that's the one thing the hairdressing or Afro hair community is lacking. Like, most women lose, like, have receding hairlines, have alopecia due to tension and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I decided to focus my energy on making sure we retain people's hair back into good health. We take good care of their scalp. What's the best way to make sure? So there are clients that I can tell you, I'm sorry, we're not doing cornrows.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but I love them. I'm like, no, you're not going to lose your edges on me.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to tell you, we're not going to do this hairstyle just because your hair is really light. I don't want you to face certain hair loss problems after this. Or there are clients that I literally will go like, look, let's use these extensions because they are not heavy and it's good for your scalp and stuff like that. And it's all about the fun of doing it.
Oh, I love that. But the best part to that as well is you now have a branch back home and a branch here.
Yeah.
So not only, and even when you talk about your love of hair, it's not that you discriminate between, or it's because it would never even be discrimination. You could have just grown up and only did our hair.
Yeah.
But you've also learned everything, like, since I've known you, the amount of times I've seen you, like, right, I'm now qualified for this.
I'm
studying this.
I actually did the level 2 when I first came to the UK.
Yeah.
I did level 2 hairdressing, hair and beauty. And then when I moved to Belfast as well, I completed with the level 3, which actually allows you to train people and stuff like that. And I actually have, like, white clients, even though I focus more on Afro hair.
I have
white clients. I have Indian clients. I have like a diverse client base, and it's just the same way I would tender for Afro hair. I would use that same energy to tender for a different texture of hair.
Yeah,
it's just, I love Afro hair.
But I also think that that's a testament to you as a person. Never mind you as a businesswoman, because a lot of us, especially with African backgrounds, have trauma stories, especially if we've moved from home to the Western world. Even if it's an African practitioner, it doesn't mean that you're going to get a good service.
No.
And Northern Ireland, especially as a landscape, now we could talk about this forever. We were at the launch of Macy's video yesterday, a video. So we're in a short film and Jess has done all of our hair. But it's talking about Black women and hair, but it's so powerful because you're now in this situation where we've got this little ecosystem where we've all got traumatic stories.
Yeah.
For me personally, the only people that touch my hair are Jess, G, and my dad. No one else touches my hair. Anyone else I've allowed to touch my hair, something's gone wrong. But I think when you look at kids that come here, when you look at the diverse ages, faces, hairs, whatever, there's so, like, I wouldn't look at your page and think, oh, you mostly do Black people's hair.
Yeah.
And that might be your favorite and that might be what you enjoy, but I think it's great to understand that you know a bit of everything.
Yeah,
you can advise on that, but also Northern Ireland's filled with mixed race kids.
Yeah.
And kids where there'll be parents that don't, and this will be on both ends. Because before my niece, I wouldn't have known how to deal with that type of hair. I didn't even know how to deal with my hair when I cut it off. So I think even just have someone that you can trust where you know that, one, you know a bit of everything. Two, you do touch different types of hair. Yeah. But three, you love what you do.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible. Like, how have you found that here?
That's right. No, to be honest, I keep saying one of the main reasons I moved to Northern Ireland was a client.
Mm.
So when I was in England, I had a client that used to come from Antrim to do her hair. And I would always ask her. She had a cousin in England, so I thought she would come and visit her.
Yeah.
And I used to do her cousin's hair, so I was thinking probably that's it. But then one day she was like, oh, I'm actually going back. I was like, so do you always go back when you come? She's like, yeah, I just come to get my hair done. Sometimes my sister is even at work.
Oh,
I was like, what? So I then got into the conversation of asking her, why do you come all the way from Northern Ireland to do your hair here? And she said, you will understand if you ever visit Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And to me, it felt like that's such a statement to make.
Yeah.
So there was a time she came and I was like, I'm actually thinking of relocating. But then we have Northern Ireland on the list as well, because my husband's cousin lives here.
Yeah.
And he's been here for 7 years and says really good stuff.
Yeah.
So like, we have it on the list, or we'll probably move to the Midlands in England. And she was like, Jess, please move to Northern Ireland. It will be good for your business.
Yeah.
It will be good for the community here. So I was like, okay. I asked my husband, can we just go and visit the place and see? And I'm not going to mention names, but then I went to do my hair in a specific place and I just understood what they meant, what she meant by the experience, you will understand. So I just asked my husband, can we move here? And he was like, yeah. Why? He's like, it's a place that I think what I do will not only grow, but it will benefit a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because there is no way in hell I will sit you down without detangling your hair if it needs detangling, or without blow drying your hair if it needs to be blow dried. Whereas in places I've been, when I had my surgery, I couldn't do my own hair because I always do my own hair. And I booked with somebody off Instagram. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to get my hair done. And I went in, my hair, I've had surgery and been on bed for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
I haven't washed my hair. My hair was a mess. I just went there and the lady just took a comb and just digged right through my hair. And one thing, I never tell anybody I'm a hairdresser when I go to get my hair done. So she did that and I was like, okay. I teared up a bit, but then I sucked it in and went home, slept. And then 5 days later, I just took everything off because it was really tight. My hair couldn't breathe and all that, so I just took it off. So I was like, okay. And all that while, I hadn't even had the idea to have the salon, but I wasn't motivated enough to get the salon open or all that. So I just tested one guy there. I had seen the location, but then I had a surgery and all that. So I was like, meh. And I called him. I was like, can I get the place if it's still available? Because this is the second place I've gone and I've been treated like my hair is nothing.
Yeah.
So I was like, can I, if it's still available? He was like, yeah, why not? So I just came to view the place again, signed a lease right there and then, took the keys and I was like, yeah, we're going to do this. And since the very day I opened, the stories I've heard, the traumas, I've literally had people sit in a chair and shiver.
Yeah.
And this is a 20-something year old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be as gentle as I can. And then they will start to open up from there.
Yeah.
From the detangling stage, they realize, oh, it doesn't need to be this painful.
Mm.
To the braiding. And they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I've met people, kids, and I've met kids say, Mom, don't ever take me to that horrible woman again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a child shouldn't say that about a hairdresser.
Yeah.
But then it's due to the experience she had had.
Yeah.
Due to what she had seen. And it shouldn't be. So for me, I'm just like, yeah. So hearing these stories, and it feels good to hear kids get out of their trauma.
Yeah.
And I have Timaya, I have a few of them. They literally walk through the door and give me a huge hug before they even sit in the chair to get their hair done.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's just, the last time I was sitting there in my chair after an appointment, and I was like, I can't imagine years from now, I'm going to go to graduations of these ones. Yeah. I'm going to go to weddings of these ones. I'm going to go to certain occasions. And this is not because of anything. It's because of the bond through hair and actually making them love and appreciate their hair in a way they never thought was possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you know what? That's also so wild, because when I look at like my experience here and my experience growing up, I think I didn't realize how powerful hair was.
Yeah.
Like you said, my first experience in here, so G found you. You hadn't even opened, actually. So we started talking and looking at each other's TikToks and Instagrams and whatever before I even got to come in here. And my first hair appointment was on opening day.
Oh, yeah.
But I, as soon as I walked out, I called my mum and I was like, I've just had my hair done. I always knew it was going to be a good experience because you just, it seemed like we were going to vibe.
Yeah.
And then I called her and I was like, my scalp's not being pulled. I didn't take any paracetamol. That's the first time in my life I've not needed to take it. Like, you were so gentle and I just couldn't understand how you could be so gentle but still so neat. And it lasted ages still.
Yeah. And
like, I think me having that experience, you can talk about how you see it, but living that and knowing what that will do for those kids, never mind, it's not even just kids, I'm an adult, I'm 30.
I know.
Like, I think that's incredible because you are literally, you're touching people's lives in a way that we don't. I feel like I always took hair for granted.
Yeah, yeah, I always say that as well. People don't see how much your hair can affect you in so many ways.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm doing like kids who, I remember there was this appointment that the she's a mixed kid and her mom is white, but then she's never had braids before. Mm-hmm. She's never had her hair cut. And her mom, when I cut the hair, I said, do you want the pieces like that I'm cutting off just to keep? She's like, yeah, I've never been asked this question with my older kids. And I was like, yeah, if you need to keep them for memories. So she was like, yeah. So she just took a little rubber and just kept them in.
Oh.
Like, actually, this is memorable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I told her, can you sit beside her or can you just have her sit on your lap? Because if she doesn't create that trust, she might either hate the first experience or have that idea of her mom having to be away from her whenever she needs her hair done.
Yeah.
So she just took a little seat and then sat behind next to her. We did the hair and for a moment she was like, I'm going to go out to do something. And she went to the door, do what she needed to do, came back. And gradually we built that trust where she gets to understand it doesn't need to be painful.
Yeah.
Mom is not going to be that away from you.
Yeah.
Because I know in some salons, there's literally no space for the mom to even sit next to her to create that bond. So you need to have that idea. She needed to have that idea. You're safe. We're all here to show you that love, to care and be concerned. Yeah. And her mom was so shocked. She was like, I've never had this experience with the older ones. Well, I'm going to bring all of them in. I was like,
Because I've been in here before and seen moms that sit, like, there was one day a mom was sat working whilst I was getting my hair done.
Oh, yeah.
And her daughter was, and the other kids were just playing away in the car and games and whatever. But I think that's, I'd not even thought about it in that.
Yeah.
In that sense. That's incredible.
The whole idea is, because that's one thing I realized, like, most of the Afro salons here, it's just get your hair done and get out.
Yeah.
Where I'm trying to create that safe space for mostly the Black community or whoever comes in. And I say mostly the Black community because we've not really had that much of this kind of experience.
Yeah.
So I would center it on the Black community, where you come in and have the comfort. I've had dads come in and they say, oh, I'm actually going to come in again. I have dads that come in with
I've seen
girls.
A dad in here before. That's so true.
And
yeah,
she said the first few times I would sit in my car in other salons because there's literally no space or it's just business as usual.
Yeah,
where they come in, we have good music, good conversations, feel so comfortable and get the hair done, and they don't mind coming again.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of environment I'm just trying to create for whoever steps in. Be comfortable, be happy, enjoy the moment you're here.
Yeah.
Even if you don't come back, you will never get over that moment.
Yeah.
And
I love that. And to be fair, that kind of leads us, because I'm going to have to rush us, but I'd like to link how you're feeling mentally and generally also with, I guess, the experience of being here, because no matter what, being a business owner, there are ups and downs.
No,
but yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, it can get overwhelming. I remember telling you about my accountant earlier. No, it can really get overwhelming sometimes. Especially for me, it's mostly my bills. Especially when it comes to, you know, this business, you don't have a fixed income coming in. There are days that are very good. There are days that are very bad. Like January, February. Now I've realized January, February is the worst. So I need to prepare.
Yeah.
But January, February can get really bad. Whereas the other months you can get fully booked and you literally have to beg people to say, can we just move this somewhere where I'm going to? So it gets overwhelming when it comes to your bills. But trying to keep up, trying to make sure bills are paid off, trying to make sure at the end of the month you have something to take home as well, and also trying to work your prices in a way that it can find a balance.
Yeah,
because it's you need to work prices where you can make profit, you can pay off your bills, and in the same time people can afford.
It's
a very thin line. And I'm not even going to say this much. Like I keep saying, most people like do like home services and charge less, and people expect you to charge exactly the same amount. And I'm like, you're not paying for heating. Like I've seen people literally cold in somebody's house and getting their hair done.
Yeah.
You stay for 12 hours before your hair's done because she needs to cook, she needs to do that, she needs to do that. And you get heating, you get a comfortable environment, you get your hair prepped, everything ready, all those stuff. And you do not expect me to charge you the same way you go and sit in somebody's corner to get your hair done. So people do not understand the difference between the two. And aside that, for instance, these places, you don't get your hair blow dried, you don't get your hair detangled, you don't get all this done for you. And you come in, there are people, like there's some hair that I wouldn't charge you for detangling because it would take me 5 minutes to do. And if it's going to go beyond 5 minutes, we'll definitely charge you. But like you cannot compare the two and say, oh, because she's charging me, let's say, 90 quid, you should charge me 90 as well. In the same vein, there are other people who work from home that charge like 200, 150 and all those. But then people are okay for that. So I'm like, it's just a challenge trying to make people understand there is a difference between the two. And you do not expect a salon to charge you exactly the same way somebody in the corner of her house will charge you. And some of these people do not even pay taxes. Where as a business, I'm paying taxes, I'm paying for systems, I'm paying all those things.
And this is all self-funded. I'd also like to point out.
Yeah, and this is all self-funded. Like, I couldn't qualify for loans in the UK, so because I hadn't been here for 3 years when I wanted to start the business. So it's a lot of it has come from me. It's not like other people that can get access to funding and they don't really, like, I literally need to sit down and do my calculations and make sure things are working for both myself and you, the client. So it's a bit challenging. And there was a time I would literally explain to people, but now I don't. So at first I would explain to people like, you know, this and that, and that's why we need to charge you this much, and you're getting your money's worth and stuff. But then now I don't do that anymore. I just go like, you can just go around and compare the prices or compare services and come back. And they always come back. That's the funny thing.
Yeah.
They always come back. I remember there was someone that was telling me, oh, I actually went somewhere and I realized that I'm back. I was like, oh, welcome back.
Yeah.
They always come back because, again, it's an unbeatable service. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's an unbeatable service. And I do it from my heart and soul. It's not just it's not just for the money or the profit. I do it with a sense of passion. So there is a difference between the two. And
that's so true.
That's always been my challenge, but I just stopped explaining myself.
Do you know what? And I think you're right as well, because like we're talking about, I've experienced the service and it is unbeatable. And I think there comes a point, like when I had my first business, I realized if I actually bake and give a muffin away for free, next time I come and tell you how much it is, you might complain. But if I say, all right, well, you're not getting it under the old price, you will pay. So I think that's it's such a good mindset to have. Because again, the people that do have, and I know we talk about, like, you started a business as well in a recession, or in a really bad economic state with the pandemic and everything. But to be able to survive this and get to the flip side of that, the people that want to pay and need to pay will pay. You'll find those. And then there'll be a time where you will be turning people down, even January, February time. But that's going to be a different place. But at least then you'll know, I can only take this on. This is how much you're going to pay. And but then they're not going to care. So when things change as well, you've done the right things to set yourself up for the future, even if it doesn't feel like it. When it's you doing it all, it's really easy to still have that optimism, especially when you've got bills to pay and all of that. It is wild. Okay, so where can everyone, before I end it, right now, where can everyone find you and where are you hoping to be in the future?
So I think we're on Instagram as B Sanji's Hair and Beauty, or you just use Afrofusion Salon Belfast. You will find us either way. And I actually say Afrofusion because we don't just do Afro hair. We do aesthetics treatment. We have a treatment room and we don't do nails anymore.
And then I'm going to have to get my nails done somewhere. I'm probably going to go back to doing it at home on my own now. You're so close that for everything, I was like, I've got one place. I can literally get everything done from top to bottom. And I'm like, oh, but it's just like I used to do my own nails. So it was literally for the sake of customer service, for knowing that I didn't have to do it on my own. But so you've got aesthetics, you've got hair.
We've got hair. So now it's hair and aesthetic treatment and beauty treatment, like facials and stuff like that. So that's what we're focusing on this time around. You can find us on Instagram as B Sanji's Hair and Beauty. And you can find us on TikTok as well as B Sanji's Hair and Beauty. And then you can find us on Facebook as B Sanji's Unisex Salon. But those are the places we are. But then 5 years from now, I'm looking at having other branches within Northern Ireland and go as far as Dublin.
Nice.
That's what we're looking. 5 years from now, I'm looking for us to have like an academy where we do Afro hair trainings, we do Afro hair services that do not really focus on just putting extensions on somebody's hair, but then go beyond the care and treatment of Afro hair, because it's about time and it's needed.
Really is.
Like,
geez, I had to Google stuff and find videos. I don't want to do that. I'm like, this is too much for me. Let me just put my bonnet on now. Or in the past, it was just I didn't even go as far as that bonnet. So I do think that's such a great idea.
We're working on getting people trained as young as, let's say, 10, 11 years on how to take care of their hair, on how to brush their Afro hair, on how to put it in a nice bun, on how to detangle. So we're looking to do something like a braiding comb and stuff like that. But 5 years from now, that's what we're hoping to achieve. And then the biggest of them all is the petition for inclusion of Afro hair in hairdressing. I really hope 50 years from now, when I'm 70, no matter how long it takes, I will sit in my chair and hear in the news that the UK in general, or even part of the UK, has Afro hair as part of their hairdressing curriculum, because it's sad where we live in the day of civilization, but then people can say, oh, I'm sorry, we don't do this kind of hair. And you can imagine a child's face being told that.
Yeah.
Even an adult is not a good feeling. Yeah. And talk of a child. So I hope years from now, that's something that can actually come to pass and will be the happiest day of my life.
Yeah. And is the petition still live?
So we currently have like 250 something.
When you were really looking, because when I looked, I think it said like you were looking for 100 people.
Yeah. So what it does is it keeps extending the margin. So if you go over a milestone, it would then extend. So it started off with 100, and when we were able to get 100, it moved to 200, and now that we have 200 over 200, it has moved to 500.
Nice.
So it just keeps, but then hopefully, and I've got the Education Service of UK and a few other bodies already tagged on, so the petition goes straight to them.
Amazing.
To see what's happening. So hopefully that would be the biggest, the happiest day of my life if that ever happens, because it's sad.
When it happens,
because it's sad to like do a whole hairdressing course and you have nothing that relates to you, even that is mental.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, you have nothing that relates to you. So you finish with a course, but then you literally have to push the knowledge you have from doing other types of hair into doing Afro hair.
Which it is crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, every hair is not the same. I'm sorry, but you can just brush off a type of hair and that's it.
Yeah.
Whereas Afro hair, you literally need to detangle. You literally need to comb. You need to section. You need to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I would be very happy to see that come to pass one day.
Yeah, honestly, it would be incredible, because you even reminded me, like, I've worked on sets and like done modeling or something else where people are wanting to be inclusive, and then you turn up, there's no one that, I always know no one can do my hair but makeup.
Yeah.
I once had an experience where someone did my makeup, because it looks like at least I'd done a bit of research. Yeah. I was like, give you the benefit of the doubt. The color match was so bad. And you know when you're like, I just feel really bad, like, how do I even say this now? Like, they thought, oh, this looks great. But you know when you're like, I just look so washed out.
I know.
And so even just know that we can, like, Belfast is so multicultural now, and it's growing more and more. So it's a great time to be growing in business. Yeah. But also when you see the opportunities and you go, for the sake of you being here, very much like you're the one that's pushing this.
Yeah.
So to know that anything hair and beauty, it's you that will be linked to everything. I think that's what's really exciting for me. And I'm so glad I met you when I did, because I get to see all of this stuff
happening,
unfold.
Yeah.
But also from a place of pride and being like, I've also got to champion someone that I've had such a good experience overall, not even just the little micro bits of me coming in, but what's that going to be? Like I was saying to you earlier, my niece, I feel comfortable when she's here, bring her here to get hair done. And she lives in England where people can do hair. So even then, I think there's just a piece that's so important to us as Black women in general. But I love what you're doing for the community, for self-love, for self-care, for us, because no one thinks about us.
I know. Actually, we're going to have this event come on in June somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
About to have like an Afro hair forum and subsequently have like an Afro hair exhibition.
Yeah.
Probably the first of its kind in Belfast and Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
We will start with Belfast, obviously, because it's Belfast. But then over the years, we're looking to go around the whole of Northern Ireland and see how much of an influence we can make. But then we're looking to get that sorted in June, the first ever one in June. And fingers crossed, we're hopeful it's going to be an exciting one, an educating one as well. And
oh, I can't wait.
I know.
Fabulous. Okay, so let's end with, what has been your win of the week?
I think my win of the week has been when, you know, Macmillan is doing, You know, Macmillan is doing this new program for beauty. They call it beauty support. So they're trying to get Afro hairdressers to get trained on how to help women with black women with cancer and how to communicate it when they come to
the salon. That's amazing.
Yeah, because you know, people talk to their hairdressers more than their husbands and their therapists and all that. So yeah, we're looking to, they're looking to do that. I think they've been doing it in London, but then they've not stretched as far as Northern Ireland.
Yeah, typical.
So I sent an email and I was like, look, I'm in Northern Ireland and I'm interested in this thing.
Yeah.
And guess what? She was like, yeah, I know you're in Northern Ireland.
Oh.
So it looks like it's something they've looked into as well. So yeah. I was like, I'm really interested. I have this huge passion for Afro hair and black women and hair and all that. And I would love to be a part of this. So she was like, yeah, I'll give you a call on Thursday.
That's incredible.
We talk about it and we see how it goes. So that's actually my win of the week.
Oh.
And I'm excited to be a part of that as well. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. Do you know what? You've actually, because I had a totally different win of the week. My win of the week actually now is realizing that like God really has a plan.
It does.
When you don't see things coming together and you don't know why sometimes doors close so other things can happen. Yeah. And we've had conversations today and even just talking about this, where I'm going, like I was reading the stat that women that have cancer, that partners leave, most of them, I think the stat was really high, versus women stay in when they hear the partner has cancer.
Yeah.
So knowing that like cancer has affected my life and like family members, to have that level of love, self-care, someone in your corner that will make you feel human, will make you feel seen, heard, loved, like that's incredible. And those are the things, like, you remind me of like my passion for helping people, which is really nice. I think whenever things get really difficult, you forget. In business, it's like, all right, I need to pay the bills. But actually, when you get to give back and you get to change someone's life, even if it's only in a little way, that's incredible. So, thank you so much for being on. Like, you've got a hair appointment now. Like, but yeah, I'll link everything below in the comments from the petition, where to find you, the exhibit, and everything that you, if and when you put anything on. We'll do all of that, and we are definitely doing a part two to this, because there's so much else outside of hair and growing up in Africa and being the older sister and all that that I want to talk about. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Such an honor. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, see you next time.
All right, bye.